Hi there, thanks for joining us on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington joined by Tom Collins and Paddy Powers, Graham Temple, to take you through the first day of the turf flat season at Doncaster. I say turf, there is some turf. There's been a bit of kerfuffle about the grass cover on the track this week, but hopefully it'll all be good. We've got the usual massive field for the Lincoln, three other races there. And then Kempton and Newbury also feature on an ITV card. Plus, we've got our dirt ace. Actually, that's not a very nice description of Tom Collins, but all-weather, world-class foreign racing ace, Tom Collins, to look ahead to Dubai World Cup night. So plenty to get through. We'll have the naps as well. We'll start with Doncaster's four races on ITV, starting with the 2 o'clock. It's over a mile. Actually, the race title gives that away. It's the Unibet Doncaster Mile. I tell you, it's some tricky old races today, Graham. There's not too many short ones, is there? And this race is typical of that.
Yeah, and on a day like this, I suppose it could pay to play for some horses at big double-figure prices, looking for to fall into a place of that. It could be carnage indeed for anyone trying to fish a few winners out. But an interesting opener at Doncaster on the ITV coverage, the 2 o'clock race. We're doing a special online, Bruce, for Paddy Power customers. Money back as a free bet if your selection finishes second, third or fourth. It's a free bet of a max of 10 quid. You can't say better than that. We bet in the race. Montatum for William Haggis, 130. Bounce the Blues, 7-2. Top Rank for James Tates, a 4-1 shot. 5-1 Space Traveller. 7-1 Father of Jazz and Juan Elcano. And 14-1 Bardos.
Quite a good start, this, isn't it, Tom? And Montatum, the horse who looked like an absolute world beater, he's back. Is he the one to trust here?
Well, yeah, so it's a good race, isn't it? There's a number of likeable types. Plenty of them should be sharp on for their reappearance as well. The likes of Space Traveller, Top Rank have often proved in the past that they go really well fresh. Montatum, as you say, he stands out, doesn't he, in this race? That form last year, when I think it was at York, he ran a very good race to win. It was a big imposing sort. I think he might have proper targets, bigger targets down the line. So I'm willing to take him on first run this season, though he's probably the best horse in the race. I'm going to side with Juan Elcano. Whose form figures after breaks of 60 days or longer is the reason why I'm going to side with him. He's got form figures of 1-3-5. Now, on face value, you think, oh, one win from three races. Well, that can't be that good. But he won on debut, which was impressive. That third came in the Group 2 Champagne Stakes last September, over 7 furlongs at this track. He tried to lead that day in a field of 5 runners, but it was just tapped for toe by Threat, who eventually won the race, and Royal Crusade, who finished second, went on to take 6th in the Commonwealth Cup. Obviously, he has plenty of speed to run 6th in the Commonwealth Cup. And Juan Elcano, who's going to be better at a mile this trip, just couldn't live with him. His next start was a 5th place finish in the 2000 Guineas. He didn't really have a chance that day, but he ran a great race.
He didn't really build on that, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think he led for quite a long way, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's very difficult to make all the running in a Guineas. It's very difficult to make all the running in any straight course turf race, to be honest. But I thought he ran really creditably to finish 5th. His best efforts have come when fresh. He's had a gelding up, which will hopefully be the catalyst to an improved effort. And I think he's probably worth a go at a decent price.
7-1, Juan Elcano. Who are you going to go for, Graham?
Juan Elcano is definitely an interesting one, isn't he? I'd probably have a small dabble on him, but I'd picked out Roger Varian's Father of Jazz, beaten favourite in the Winter Derby. It's for a different reason from what Tom said there. You know, there's a lot of horses having their first race in this particular race, the first race of the season. So I like the fact that Father of Jazz is going to arrive here battle-hardened and fit off the all-weather. And Roger Varian's charge, he's certainly an each-way backable price, so I'll go for him each-way, Father of Jazz.
We'll move on to the 2:35. It's the Unibet Spring Mile Handicap. Over a mile, of course. And yet again, as I said, another race with a big price favourite, Graham.
Yes, we go 5-1 Acquitted, 7-1 Arctic Vega. Artistic Rifles is an 8-1 shot for Edward Bethel. It's then 9-1 after that, Poet's Lady, 10-1 Mascot, and 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. And just quickly to say, 5 places with Paddy Power if you're playing each way on the Spring Mile.
And who are you going to go for, Graham?
Because we're doing the extra place and everything, I think a race like this could be a race to go for something at a massive price. And I am going to chance David Minutier's Into Faith. I checked earlier on today, it was around 22-1 with us. I just think it's an interesting one. It's been gelded since it last raced. And that was at Saint-Cloud in November. And there's a £5 claimer up in Reese Clutterbuck. And I just think there's no flies on David Minutiae, and I would not be surprised to see Into Fate falling into one of those five places. So I play him each way.
Who are you going to go for? Tom Collins?
Well, the spring mile is usually a dress rehearsal for the Lincoln, which follows. So we'll find out plenty, or we may not find out anything, in terms of the draw and track biases in this race when it comes to the feature 35 minutes later. I think those drawn high are probably more talented in this event. And so I'll be back in two with double-figure draws. They're going to be Artistic Rifles and Mascat. Artistic Rifles began his career with Charlie Hills. He won five times, then he was sent to Italy, which was a strange move. Now he's back with James Bethel. Won over a straight mile at Redcar. He made all the running, and as I've already mentioned, making all the running over a mile on a straight turf course is very difficult. I think he could be marked up for that effort. He ran creditably again last time at Newcastle, raced on the wrong part of the track towards the far side when it was an advantage for his stand side. Hopefully he gets a lead. He's got a great chance if he does. And then Mascat, who's just thoroughly unexposed, he could easily be a 100-rated horse, and he's running off a mark of 89. Ross Orion, who could have ridden Dark Pine, who's got a great chance at Kempton, goes to Doncaster. I just want to mention that Ross Orion is a brilliant young jockey. Like, he's completely underrated, but he has fantastic poise in the saddle, great strength as well. So Artistic Rifles are Mascats for me.
You're getting the hang of it, Tom. You're starting to learn the joys of tipping Rafe Beckett horses. Excellent. 310 Lincoln, not 310 Lincoln, 310 Doncaster. It is the Lincoln, the race of the day. 22 go to post, but what's going on here, Graham? We've got two horses at 100 to 30.
Unbelievable. And we're going a big six places in the race. And normally you'd go way down looking for something at double figure prices. But I have a little confession to make, Bruce. I've got to my mid-50s. There's two races in the world that I've never backed the winner of. One is the Grand National. Two is the Lincoln. But we bet in the race, Eastern World and Hakiki both share favouritism, as you said there, at 100 to 30. 8-1 Brentford Hope and River Nymph. 9-1 King Otakar. It's 11-1 after that Brunch and Danya, and 14-1 bar those.
It's incredible, this, Tom, isn't it? Those two at the front of the market take out something like 46% of the book. Not sure about that. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. There's no value in either of the top two in the market, and people are just drawn into the connections and their unexposed profile. Look, I can see either of them winning. They both have that lightly raced profile that suggests they could be much better than their marks. Just to say, G-Rod and myself compiled some numbers on percentage of runners beaten looking at the draw, and it created a muddy picture. There's no real standout, so don't be tempted just to side with high or low. At this stage, you'll get more information after the spring mile. But there's no real standout in the last 9 years. The pace is the question mark. There's no real front runners either. Uzo and Dashing Roger might go on. Eastern World as well could go forward, I thought. Auxerre, who won the race 2 years ago for Charlie Appleby, boasted a similar profile. He went on and made all. So Eastern World could go forward. I think he's worth taking on. He finished a fair way behind Brunch and Hakiki in a couple of races last year. His price is more a reflection of connections and that one Maidan victory. I think there's two in here at decent prices. One is Danya, who's got a hood, can race keenly, got a middle draw as well, which is a slight worry, but has also probably chucked in off the mark. And if he's ready to go first time up, he's a big player. But I do prefer Brunch, who's probably been targeted at this race for a fair time, fair length of time, is better than a mark of 100. Scrap his last two runs last term. They came on heavy and soft ground. He doesn't want that, those conditions. His prior efforts are probably the best pieces of form in the race. And I think 11-1, given he's going to get a lead from a decent draw, could be an each way steal.
Tom thinks Brunch could have these for breakfast. Graham, who's your selection?
Well, after what I said earlier about the fact that I've never backed the winner of this race, I'll just tell everybody what I'm backing so they'll know not to back it, draw a line through it, and apologies to connections. But I think this Hakiki is jumping off the page, John and Tady Gosden's charge. Why? Because Mr. Benoit de la Sayette, that £7 claimer, is one of 9 of his 31 rides to date. Obviously a very capable man that works with the Gosdens. I think this £7 claim is going to be the key. I think Hakiki, who won here over 7 furlongs, and interestingly the comment was it won going away, so the step up to a mile is sure to suit. I think the Gosdens are going to make very good use of Benoit de la Sayette, as he's a further 11 wins to go before he loses this £7 claim, so keep an eye on him. And I'm going to be backing Hakiki, but I am overdue a winner, a long overdue a winner in the Lincoln, Bruce.
And of course, don't forget that it's now John and Thady Gosden on the cards. That's the father and son team. Now, I tell you what, talking about Lincoln's successes, I was just looking back. 1984, my first job was as a board marker for Mecca Bookmakers. And I remember having the TriCast up in the Lincoln. I won about 150 quid and it felt like an absolute fortune. I don't think I've had one since, but unlike you, Graham, I can at least say I did it once. The 345 at Donny is the Camage Trophy, sponsored by Unibet, over 6 furlongs. And good old Brando heads the market. There's some nice familiar names here. Mr. Lupton, Summergan, Tis Marvellous. Let's get the betting and then we'll get your fancy, Graham.
Yeah, we go 9-4 Brando, 5-1 Just Frank for Les Air, 11-2 David O'Mara's Summergand, Tis Marvellous, 11-2. Emirati Anna having his first run following a wind up is a 15-2 shot, and it's 10-1 bar those. And Bruce, I'm going to give this race a miss. I have no pick in it.
Okay, I'm sure Tom's got a fancy.
Yeah, not a strong one, but a fancy at that. On figures, Brando wins this race. But I'm pretty sure he just needs giving the ground nowadays. As he's got older, he needs softer conditions. I'm not sure how much rainfall Donny are going to get. I know there were forecast some rain today. And all systems also seem to be heading towards the champion sprint in October. Connections have really wanted to win that race with Brando. He's had 5 attempts at it. He finished second last year to Glenn Scheel, and probably that'll be his target for the season. So I want to take him on, despite the fact he's the standout on figures. I'm going to probably side with Summergan, just the fact that he's fit after 3 runs on the all-weather. I weighed in on him last time as well, and he got beaten at the inside. But I think that the switch to turf will help him. And just a word on Just Frank, who's a three-year-old in the race. No three-year-olds won this race since 2002, Falcon Hill. I think they're 0-14. I ran the figures. I can't remember specifically. I think they're 0-14. Just Frank gets plenty of weight and is bang there on ratings as well. But those statistics just put me off his chance.
I tell you what, Tom, one of the stupidest expressions in betting is an each way bet to nothing, because the amount of times that they end up returning absolutely nothing is incredible. But with Summergand, you just know he's going to run his race.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he's just so solid.
The solid horse, isn't he?
He is. I'm going to have an each way bet on Summergand. Okay, that was Donny. We've got Kempton and Newmarket. No, Newbury to come.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, let's turn our attention to Newbury, which has 2 races on ITV on Saturday, starting with the 250. We're back over jumps, and we've got the BetVictor Novices Handicap Hurdle. The market is headed by Nichols and Cobden in the form of Good Ball, Graham.
Yeah, Good Ball. We've got it at 9-4. Hudson de Grugy, Gary Murr's charge is a 3-1 shot. Hooper for Nicky Henderson, 9-2. It's 11-2, One True King, 8-1, Mount Windsor, and 10-1, Bar Those, Bruce.
And we've got the flat 8, so there might be some each way betting potential if they all stand their ground. Tom, who do you like here?
Well, in truth, now the flat season started, I won't be betting over jumps. I kind of lose interest once the better rating, I'm going to say, comes around. However, as you say, there's a flat 8. I had a decent look at this race. I thought Good Bull is the obvious one. He travelled really nicely last time when second behind Gowell Road. He's got an unexposed profile, only 4 starts, Paul Nichols as well. But Harry Cobden, his record in the last 2 weeks is not good. He's only had 4 winners from 43 rides.
Well, what do you think's happened? He's forgotten how to ride?
Not at all. I know, obviously, he rode zero winners at Cheltenham. Brits basically had 0 winners at Cheltenham.
You can let him off that, can't you?
I suppose. Just at the prices, it's a bit worrying because jockeys are obviously ride with confidence, don't they? And when they get a few winners on the board, they tend to ride better. It's not a race I'll have a bet in, though it is a decent contest.
So if you were going to have a quid on something, it might be good.
Would be the Fav, yeah.
Okay, Graham, who's your selection going to be here?
Well, my angle on this is Hudson de Grugy was very impressive, despite making a couple of late mistakes at Sandown on March the 13th. That was on soft ground. But my angle with this horse is, I think the better ground that they're expecting today was going to suit, because this horse won on good ground over 1 mile and 3 furlongs on its final French start on the flat when it was trained by Adrian Fouassier. And I just think the slightly better ground, Hudson de Grugy, hopefully its jumping will become more fluent. But I'm going to have a play in this race, and I'm going to back Gary Moore's Hudson de Grugy.
Right, you are. 3:25, another head scratcher. 2 miles, 4.5 is the trip. It's the EBF BetVictor National Hunt. Novices Mare's Hurdle. It's a limited handle. It's a grade two. It's the final of the series. And Graham, take it away with the show.
Yeah, we're going four places in this race, Bruce. And we go Roses of Arcadia for Colin Tizard's a 4-1 favourite. Misty Whiskey, 9-2. 13-2 is Philip Hobbs's Little River Bay. That was beaten favourite last time out. Interesting that a Nicky Henderson runner is priced at 7-1 in this. Dr. Dina, worth a second look. He's also got Butsbury Lady in the race, also 8-1. And Kilmington Rose is another one at 8-1. And at 17-2 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
13 runners, four places. I suspect you're going to need it. Graham, lead on.
I'm going to go with an outsider here, Alpha Carine, as an each way play with that extra place. Currently 14-1 with us. It placed last time out, but it did run rather disappointingly when it finished third last time out. That was March the 6th. It was its return to action after a break that day. I'm going to take a chance it's going to strip a little bit fitter here. And interestingly, the trainer, Ollie Murphy, four winners from his last seven runners. 10 winners from his last 44. He's in form. I'm hoping Alpha Carine can find a bit of its older form that would certainly be good enough to win this race. A place will do me. I'm not greedy. Alpha Carine each way.
Tom, who are you going to select?
Probably Dr. Dina, purely on the basis that she's in my tracker. I thought she ran a nice race when she finished second to Fantastic Lady, a talented stablemate, in a qualifier for this race at the start of the month. It's not a race I want to bet in again. It's a difficult mare's hurdle.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move our attention over to Kempton in that case. And there's two races there, again, on ITV on the main channel. We're back to the flat, which will delight Tom. The 145 is the Ladbrokes Magnolia Stakes, a listed race over a mile and two. And at last, Graham, we've uncovered a strong favourite.
Yeah, Global Giant topping the market here for John and Thady Gosden at 10-11. Phalanx sporting a first-time tongue tie for William Haggis, your second favourite at 9-4. 5-1 Stormy at Antarctic, 8-1 Sky Defender, and War Leader just making up the numbers, it seems, at 100-1.
Tom, do you get all excited when the wraps come off all these names, Stormy Antarctic and all those familiar flat horses?
Yeah, of course I do. I get really excited. Even looking at two-year-old maidens when I've never seen any of the horses before, that they excite me. This race, finally, we've got a decent short price favourite for punters, and this one will win as well, Global Giant. There are big question marks against all four of his rivals. Phalanx, first-time tongue ties, a worry. Stormy Antarctic, first-time back off a wind-up and a tongue tie is a concern. Sky Defender just probably isn't good enough. And War Leader definitely isn't good enough on figures. Global Giant didn't run a great race over in Riyadh last time out in the Saudi Cup, but just didn't handle conditions, was held up. You needed to be towards the pace. That track was massively biased towards front runners that day. But looking back at his form before that, including here domestically last summer, he won the Stevenson Stakes at Newbury. He beat Extra Elusive that day. He went on to big things. His form is just by far the best in this race. And as providing that effort in Saudi Arabia hasn't actually taken a huge toll on Global Giant, then he will be winning.
Okay, TC, very confident about Global Giant. Do you share that confidence, Graham?
I sort of do, but I mean, I don't pack back horses at odds on. I would be a little bit concerned about Phalanx, the second favourite here, that it could be a big danger because we've got five runners in the race. It's likely to be quite tactical. And Phalanx has 3.5 lengths to recoup with Global Giant on Newbury form from last July. But in fairness, it impressed here at Kempton over a furlong further back in September 2019, which was its only all-weather start. So that Phalanx has the benefit of all-weather experience. So I wouldn't be, that would taint my confidence about Global Giant. But at the same time, Tom is very confident about that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Global Giant win, but it's not for me at that sort of price. So I'd probably leave the race alone.
Okay, at 2:15, we've got the Ladbrokes Rosebery Handicap over a mile and three. Haggis and Kingscote team up with the favourite in Al-Zarakan, Graham.
Yeah, previous course and distance winner topping the market here at 6-4. Al-Miwar, also in the same ownership and trained by John and Thady Gosden, is your second favourite, 11-4. Dark Pine, 4-1. And it's 8-1 bar those three, Bruce.
And very poignant, obviously, to see the Hamden Almack turn those legendary colours ahead in the market here in the week when we lost what has been such a huge influential figure in British and indeed global racing for so long. Graham, who do you fancy for the Rosebery?
Yeah, William Haggis does particularly well, particularly on the all-weather with the older horses. And actually, in the last couple of weeks, he's only sent two horses to post, and they both won. Alzara Khan is a previous course and distance winner here last November. I think he's jumping off the page, and it would be poignant if it won because of the colours and the fact that the owner passed away midweek. But I think I'll just do the obvious here, go for Alzara Khan. At least it's odds against.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. I think Alzara Khan and Almigua are both potential group level performers. Alzara
Khan. Who's your favourite Hampden horse?
Oh, that probably Haft.
Really?
Haft? Yeah, I think Blimey. So. I think so.
He looked like you know what it's like when we produce pages and you put dummy headline copy on things. I always used to think Haft was dummy headline copy, so I always had a bit of a problem with him. But I mean, there's just been so many, hasn't there? Just been so many wonderful, wonderful horses in those colours.
Yeah, exactly.
These two are decent. I don't think they're ever going to aspire to the greatest Hampden horses, but will they dominate this, do you think?
There's a case to be made that they'll dominate this. Alzara Khan's open to plenty of improvement. He took a keen hold on his three runs last term, so if he gets a lead, then he'll probably be the winner, I think. Almigua is a horse that will improve for a step up in trip. I'm quite surprised that Jonathan Thady Gosden have decided to step down to a mile and three furlongs. I think he's a mile six horse. He's by Dubawi out of Togruda. Fantastic pedigree. But he just looked outpaced last time. I'm going to go at the prices with Dark Pine, who has race fitness on his side. Ross Orion, as I mentioned earlier, could have ridden Dark Pine. He's given this horse a perler the last twice for David Lotnane, who has had a fantastic winter. His purchasing power is phenomenal. He bought this horse from Dermot Weld for a cheap sum, and Dark Pine is already rewarding him. I was really impressed with his turn of foot last time. He steps up in trip. I think at the prices he's to play, but I wouldn't be surprised if William Haggis's Alzara Khan won.
Thank you very much, Tom. And we will be going to Tom in just a moment for his thoughts on the Dubai World Cup card.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. And it's one of the big days in the global racing calendar on Saturday. Maidan hosts the Dubai World Cup. Loads and loads of money, loads and loads of big names converging from around the globe at Maidan. And basically, I'm just going to say to Tom, take it away. What do you fancy? How many have you got for us?
Well, it's a phenomenal card. I've got two for you, but I'll mention a couple.
Is it phenomenal? Is it as good as it can be? I must admit, I looked at it and I thought, well, either I'm even more ignorant about the state of global racing than normal, or it's actually slight. I don't know. There weren't like loads of names jumping off me and going, oh, wow, this is going to be incredible. Do you get what I'm saying?
I completely get what you're saying. I say phenomenal in terms of there are plenty of representatives from all across the globe, Japan, Bahrain, UAE, obviously Britain, Ireland, Uruguay, America. So I like the global factor
Of
Maidan. The Dubai World Cup, there's no standout. There's no Arrogate. There's no California Chrome kind of horse in this year's renewal. The favourite, though, is Mystic Guy. This is the 450 at Maidan, I should say. Mystic Guy for Michael Stidham, Godolphin. Horse has been aimed at the race for a long time. Louis Sires gets the ride. Louis Sires is a phenomenal jockey in New York and in Florida. He is powerful in the saddle. Don't worry about him. He's drawn well in gate six. He's a stalker. And this race just isn't the best in terms of quality, right? You've got no proper, decent Group 1 standard horse in the race. And Mystic Guy's never even won a Group 1, I should say. He's only won a Group 2 in the Jim Dandy at Saratoga. But he comes here on the back of a really superb victory in the Razorback Handicap on a sloppy track at Oaklawn. He's the deserving favourite. I think he'll take plenty of beating in the Dubai World Cup.
Paddy Power go 2-1 Mystic Guide, by the way, there. Okay.
They do indeed.
What else have you got for us?
And then earlier on the card, just having a look at a couple of the Americans. Yopon is favourite for the Dubai Golden Shaheen, a 240 at Maidan. I think he's around 7-2. Now, if he breaks in front, Yopon will be about 5-4 in running, or should be 5-4 in running, because he's got such an excellent sustained effort when he gets on the front end. He just keeps galloping and runs his rivals into submission. He disappointed last time in the Breeders' Cup. He finished 8th, but he couldn't get to the front that day. That was the end of his chance. He needs to lead. He's drawn well in gate 2, and he's probably the most likely winner of the race. However, if he doesn't lead, it's probably game over, and the likes of Matira Sky will finish quicker than him. Okay. And then one other.
Oh, go on.
Which is in the 205, the UAE Derby. An American for you at a price. Ambivalent for Doug O'Neill and Louis Sires. This horse is far from the most prolific. Like, he's only won a couple of races. But he runs really well over a mile and seven furlongs at Del Mar and Belmont Park in Grade 1 company as well. He's tried to live with just extremely fast horses in those races. And I just don't think the running style's been suiting him. Now he's stepping right up in trip to a mile, two furlongs. He's going to be on the front end because there isn't many horses in this field that can live with him. And I think he's got a great chance, about 16 to 1.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom. Just to take you through another couple of the big races there, we've just got the Dubai Turf, the Group 1 there over a mile and one furlong. Paddy Power goes 7 to 4, Lord North, and 11 to 4, Lord Glitters. Wouldn't it be lovely to see Lord Glitters get it done? And then at 4:10, we've got the Longines Dubai Shima Classic. That should be interesting. A lot of British and Irish representation there. The market headed by Mishriff for John Gosden, Mogul for Aidan O'Brien, and the Japanese runner Chronogenesis. So loads going on. Graham, will that be a meeting that grabs punters' imagination?
Absolutely. I mean, the prize money that's up for grabs and everything. But there's so much sport on Saturdays now. I'll certainly be switching channels on that. You've mentioned, Tom gave three there for, I do like playing the odd Yankee. I've written them down. And you mentioned another one, Bruce, that I'm going to make up a Yankee with. That Lord Glitters, anyone that saw it winning three weeks ago here at Maidan over course and distance, absolutely flew to get up in the shadow of the post. And with it being a huge pot, they might go a little bit too quick up front and it might suit David O'Mara's charge. 11 to 4 now, I think, of the Maidan races, I think Lord Glitters is the one that I'm going to be backing.
Tom, can you give Lord Glitters a squeak there? It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think he's got a great chance, Lord Glitters. He should be favourite, clear favourite for me over Lord North. I just think Lord Glitters is so consistent. Obviously, he's got £7 to find on official ratings, hasn't he, with Lord North? But he's come into his own this year at Maidan. He's got race fitness on his side, and they will go hard early, so he's definitely got a chance.
OK, gents, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we will start with Graham Temple.
I am going to go for Al Zarakan and the 215 at Kempton for the inform William Haggis. It's a previous course and distance winner. The trainer's bang in form.
Thank you, Tom.
I'll go for the Lincoln. Why not? I'll go for Brunch in the 310 at Doncaster at a big price.
Lovely stuff, gentlemen. Thank you very much indeed. Flat fans, loads to get excited about. But there's also lots coming up on the jumps, of course. We've got the National in a couple of weeks. We've got Punchestown. Loads more great action. So plenty of good stuff coming up. Maddie's back on Monday to review the first weekend of Turf Flat Racing. And we're back next Friday, so we'd love to join us for another Racing Post Weekend Postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.